Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Fantastic. So, don't you just love it when worship happens and then it does my preach for me beforehand? That's basically what happens, but we can never have too much truth. So, I'm going to, as Damien said, carry on the series in Isaiah 6. And I'm going to be focusing on grace and redemption. So I'll read the whole of Isaiah 6, just to get a bit of background of what we've done so far. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, here am I, send me." So we're going to be focusing today on verses 6 and 7 about grace and redemption. I'm just going to pray briefly before we start. So, God, I thank you that you've revealed to us so much already of your grace. And I thank you that you've done that through worship as well. And I pray that we would have open hearts and minds to what you want to say to us this morning. Place it into your hands. Amen. So there's actually so much to say about this topic. So I've decided to kind of focus on three classic areas. So the first, I want to focus on the fact that salvation is only through God's grace. So only through Jesus can we be saved. That God's grace is sufficient and that it's instantly effective. So we are changed straight away through his grace. And his grace gives us permission and access to him forever. And that means that we've got a new position in him. That's what we were talking about in worship as well, wasn't it? So I don't know if we've got any Narnia fans here, but Aslan the lion is my absolute favourite. Flipping love Aslan. He's so strong and he's so wise. And in order to save Edmund, one of the kids who committed treason, Aslan gave himself over to the witch. And he was mocked and jeered, and I'm sure some of you have read the books. I'm just a film kind of girl, so I've watched the film. And finally, Aslan is killed on the stone table for Edmund. And at this point in the film or the book, none of the characters know that Aslan will be risen to life. And so there's a lot of sadness and hopelessness and that kind of feeling. And then the stone table breaks. And Aslan rises to life, and it becomes clear that if there's a willing victim, innocent victim to take the punishment, then death will be reversed. And I really just love that picture that kind of we're all in the same position as Edmund, aren't we? That we're only saved through God's grace, which is shown to us through Jesus. And it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." That's amazing, isn't it? That God has allowed us through his son to gain access to his presence and to be saved from our sin and our rubbishness. And we've had a preach from Andy Coram a couple of weeks ago about our sinfulness and who we are. And acknowledging that is part of what the gospel's about, isn't it? That we know who we were and who we've become because of what Jesus has done for us. And it says in Ephesians 2 verse 3 that before we were Christians, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We were an enemy of God. We were so far from God. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And through that, through what Jesus has done, we've been given unmerited favour from God. And we've done nothing to deserve that. We don't deserve the gift that we're given in Jesus, do we? And it's his grace that makes that available to us. So the key thing here is that Jesus is the only way. to God. There is no other ways in which we can gain access to God. I guess there's a lot of other religions where it's about kind of works and what we do, and that can get us to a level that is good enough. But actually, Christianity is not about that. It's about the fact that Jesus has paid the ultimate sacrifice and that he died for us in our place so that we won't die, that we have eternity in him. And that's because God loves us so, so much. And I guess sometimes we, because we're silly, we try to add to that. So, but actually in that, our efforts are futile out there. There's nothing that we can do to get to that level. We can never be perfect. We can never do more to get into God's presence because he's so, so holy. And the first part of Isaiah 6 that I just read, in that the vision that Isaiah had, God was on his throne. He was in a huge robe that filled the temple. What a scene that is. And God is described as holy three times in there. And even the seraphim that were holy, are holy beings, they had to cover their faces and their feet in God's presence. So us as dirty rags would not be able to get there. So without Jesus taking that wrath of God, for us, we couldn't be in relationship with him. We couldn't enjoy his presence. We couldn't know that we're saved and that our future's secure in him. And I guess looking ahead as a church, it's a really exciting time, isn't it? We're thinking of doing Alpha at some stage, which is a kind of number of sessions where people who are Christians or not Christians come and learn a bit more about what Christianity is about. And as a church, we're kind of also being challenged in sharing our faith with other people and what that's about and what we're sharing with people, and that we're sharing the full gospel and not just elements of it. And so this is a challenge and a reminder for us that Jesus is the one who saves, that there's not anything that we can do to kind of get people to that point. It's all about God's grace, and that's what gives salvation to those who believe. So that's just a challenge for us there. And my next point is just about God's grace being sufficient. So I was thinking about sufficiency in our society where nothing seems to be sufficient, does it? We're always wanting more. We're very kind of consumerist as a society. We buy things and we think it's going to fulfill us and then it doesn't, so we want some more. An example of that for me was Christmas time. I got a new car and a new phone all in the space of like 2 weeks, and I was buzzing. I was like, yeah, this is great. I've looked after my phone for like 2 years. I'm going to get a really good phone now with better storage space. It doesn't look much different, but it helps. I don't have to delete apps every week to get more storage. And those who are kind of familiar with the car that I had before my current car, it was a Micra. I don't know if you know what they look like. They're a bit like a noddy car. And it was very much on its last legs. I did love it. Love Nobby. But yeah, I should have really been happy to get something new. But in between the Micra that was dead and the car that I've got now, I had this posh new like 17 plate Micra hire car, and I thought I was the best thing since sliced bread when I had that car. It had a camera at the back, so I didn't have to look out the back window when I was reversing, and the windscreen wipers were automatic, the lights were automatic, it had Bluetooth for music, all that stuff. To be honest, most of you have this in your cars, but I thought this was like top notch. So yeah, I was living the dream. And then when I got my new car, I was a bit like, oh, this is a bit deflating. It was a bit like a step down. How ungrateful is that? Like, that I was going from a car that was basically like just dying, bits were falling off it every week, to this new car. But I just didn't really care for it. I wanted the fancy Micra back. So that just kind of shows, doesn't it, how we're, well, me particularly, but I guess we're all like that to an extent. We're wired in that way that nothing is sufficient for us, that we always want more, from whether that's material things or food or whatever. We're kind of always thinking about what next. But actually, God's grace is different to that. God's grace is sufficient. It is sufficient for us. And the Bible doesn't talk about gospel plus other stuff. It doesn't talk about Jesus plus other things. It doesn't talk about doing more and more things to become acceptable. It's all about what God's done for us through Jesus. And it says in 2 Corinthians verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When you read that, you just think, how good is that? How good is that that we are like, we can acknowledge that we are weak human beings, but God uses that to show his amazing power through his grace. And in that section, in those verses, Paul talks about rejoicing in our weaknesses, in our trials, and through that, there's more opportunity for God to show his power to work through us. And that really challenged me when I was reading that. I thought, do I accept that? Do I acknowledge God's grace for me through my weaknesses? Do I boast in my weaknesses so that God can show his strength? Or do I try to cover them up and kind of make out that I'm doing a good job when actually I'm not? And it also says in Hebrews 10, verse 10, that the sacrifice that Jesus made is once for all. There's nothing else that needs to happen. So it says, and by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So we can be sure that there's nothing further required to be done, that all has been done to make us right with God. And my prayer is that we would know that truth for ourselves, following on from worship as well, that God's grace is sufficient for us, that what he's done through Jesus dying on the cross and rising again is that is enough. And when we try and add to this cheapens God's grace. It even rejects it because we're making it seem like it needs more than what God's already done. And that's not the truth. May we know that for ourselves, that when we're sharing with others about Jesus, about God, about what Jesus has done for us, that Jesus is enough for them too. And that nothing can be done to earn our salvation. It's all about his grace, and that's enough for everyone. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking that is a challenge for every day, isn't it? That whether we've been a Christian for years, whether we're a new Christian, whether we're not a Christian yet, do we know that God's grace is enough for us? Do we know that we can rest in that, and that is truth, that there's nothing more required? And I guess another facet of God's grace when I was thinking about it was that it's instantly effective. And I'll go through that in a minute. But I was thinking about what things are classed as instantly effective in the world. There's loads of stuff, isn't there, via like advertising, the media, loads of kind of products like makeup, shampoo, diet pills, protein substitutes, whatever you're into. That are kind of presented as having an effect straight away. And we're surrounded by that kind of thing that, yes, if you have this or if you use this, then you will be changed. And again, we fall for it, don't we? We fall for that. But through God's grace, we know that God's grace is something that takes effect straight away. In the verses that I read, notice that Isaiah speaks of the seraph which touched his mouth with the coal. And the seraph said, straight away, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. So he didn't wait a few years for the seraph to say, okay, you're good enough now. You've done it. Well done. It was an instant thing, wasn't it? That straight away Isaiah was changed. And God's grace is not about a process. It's not about things taking place gradually. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it's finished. He said that and he meant it. And the gospel means that because of the price that Christ has paid for us and the fact that he's overcome sin and death, when we believe in him, we are instantly changed and his grace makes that possible. Now, I guess there's two sides to that, isn't there? So there's the instant change in that we are children of God as soon as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. But there's also an element of a process. Damien was talking about in worship that becoming more like Christ through his power is something that happens as well when we become a Christian. But when the gospel is revealed to us and we know Jesus as our Saviour, we are instantly changed in our identity. And there's a point around that really helped me actually in terms of a phrase that's now and not yet. And it really helped me to understand that the fact that we are children of Christ now and we have a new identity in him. But at the same time, there's the not yet side of it where we are being changed and through his power, not through our efforts, through God's power to be more like him. And that is a real process, isn't it? We get challenged a lot in life and we can see the fruits of what God's done in us when we go through different stages of life and see how we respond to things and think, oh yeah, I've changed in that area, or oh, God's still working in me in that area. And we need to be patient in that. So yeah, in Ephesians 2 verse 6, it says that we've been raised up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms. And this means that not only have we been saved from ourselves, but we've been given this new identity in him. And that's the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? That we are raised up in Christ through nothing of our own doing, all through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So my prayer here is that when we present the gospel to people, when we give the fullness of the gospel to people, that we show them that God's grace is enough for them, that it's not, we don't want to expect them to change or be differently from their own selves. I remember one of my previous church leaders talked about belong, believe, behave. So that's kind of a process, isn't it, that our church is about people belonging from the beginning, that we want you to feel welcome no matter where you're at, no matter what stage you're at, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not, we want you to feel loved here. And then we want you to see, we want God to be revealed to you. If you're not a Christian, we want you to know God. And then the behave stuff comes via God's power, doesn't it? It's not through what we do. So yeah, that would be my prayer in that. And another aspect that I was thinking about God's grace in this Isaiah section was that through his grace, we are given access to him. We're given his riches at Christ's expense. And now we're right with God through that atonement that Christ has done. We're with him forever and he's our Father forever, which is awesome news, isn't it? That there's nothing going to change in that, that we're not going to fall away. There might be times when we feel further away from God, and there's other times where we feel really close to God and we think, oh, God's speaking to me so much right now. This is amazing. But actually, he's never going to change. He's constant, isn't he? And he's always with us. And it speaks in Colossians about, in verse 12, Colossians 1 verse 12 says, God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And I was thinking about this word qualified and how I guess we need qualifications to do certain jobs and we can't do those jobs if we haven't got the qualification. I spent 2 years studying and working to become a social worker. Many of you guys have studied various different things to do what jobs you do now. And I bet we all remember the trials or the joys or whatever of GCSEs or O-levels, depending on when you're at school. And that we were told that we needed these qualifications to get through to the next stage of life. And these are qualifications that we work for, different levels of work, I guess, depending on how committed you are. And that gives us permission to move on to the next stage of life and or to the job that we want to do. But when I was thinking about the qualification described in Colossians, that's different, isn't it? That's God giving us a qualification that we need through Jesus to be in relationship with him. So that's not something that we, as I've said, that we need to work for. We can't work for it. But we're given the riches of God through what Christ has done. And that's a gift from God. And it says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So what does this mean practically for us? What does this mean? Now we have this position in Christ to be able to draw near to God's throne and find that mercy and grace in times of need. And this means, what we were talking about before in worship, that we can come to God with everything, that we can come to God with our thoughts, with our fears, with our desires, with our worries. because actually God already knows them. He knows us all so deeply, and he knows all our concerns and worries and all our plans that we make ourselves. But he has a plan for all those things, doesn't he? He knows what we want, but he knows what's best for us as well. And so the truth there is that we can be honest with God, that God graciously gives us help in times of need and temptation. And that's what the relationship with God is all about, isn't it? That we're able to be honest, to be open, because we can come to him because of what Jesus has done and just say, God, this is where I'm at. Help me in this. Do something about this. Thank you that you listen to me and that you're changing me. So the grace that God gives is not just about covering us by sending Jesus. It's not just about covering our sin, but it's also about being raised up with him and being given God's riches. And that's just mad, isn't it? That our little rubbish selves, because of what Jesus has done, we've been raised up with Christ. And Jesus intercedes for us, doesn't he? He pleads our case to God because he is the perfect sacrifice. He is with God at his right hand and saying, yes, this person has accepted me, and I'm pleading for them, I'm interceding for them so that they can come into your presence. So when we understand both facets of grace, that it's given to us through Jesus to atone for our sin, and through God's grace, we're given a new identity, then we've got the fullness of what God's grace is for us. It's not kind of one or the other. Actually, it's both those things, isn't it? That our sin's been atoned for through Jesus, and we've been given a new identity in Christ because of what he's done for us. So, yeah, The further we go into our journey with God, when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how much more God's grace has been revealed to me the longer I've been in a relationship with him. And that when I was 16, I understood grace for the first time and I became a Christian, and it was amazing. It's so, the burden is lifted. You don't feel that kind of burden of I am rubbish and there's nothing that can be done, but actually that Jesus has done that for us. So the more we know and understand God's grace, the more we become aware of what God has done for us and how rubbish we are, but how good he is, the more we want to praise him, because we understand that God loved us so much that he gave his son to take the punishment so that we could be with him forever. And the more we understand all that stuff, the more we want to glorify him and live for him and tell others about him. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about living for God. It's all about lifting God's name up and pointing others to him so that they might know him and that he be glorified in that. And that's not something that we do out of duty, because that's futile, isn't it? If we're doing that out of thinking that we should be doing it, it's not going anywhere, but actually it's out of our joy in God of what he's done for us. And so my prayer there is that our knowledge of God's grace increases in us so that we would be telling others out of joy, out of just being like, yeah, you've got to hear about this Jesus and what he's done for me and what he's done in my life. So church, now we've received God's grace, what do we do with that? What do we do with it? This is our motivation to tell others of him, isn't it? To live a life that is worthy of him through his strength. And when people say things to us like, why are you like that? Why do you have such a peaceful and calm nature? Where does that come from? Why do you seem so secure? Why does this situation not make you sad or depressed? Let's point them to the giver of grace. Let's point them to him, to his glory, to his grace that is changing us, and to the confidence that we have in what he's done for us and where we're going. So, and as we've been dealt with gracefully by a holy God, this was something that really challenged me as well, was that we be filled with grace in all our relationships with other people. That my prayer for us really is that we will be so gracious with each other with new people, with our family, with our friends, and by that, through his strength, that will be pointing them to the giver of grace, to what we've received. So yeah, I'm just going to pray. God, thank you for the sacrifice that is Jesus. I thank you for what he's done for us. May we never tire of praising your name because of what you've done for us, God. And I pray that you'd continue to reveal more of your grace to us, of our knowledge of that grace that you've shown to us. And I pray that when we're sharing that with others, that we would just be truthful about that, that we would not have any expectations of others that we don't have for ourselves. Just pray, continue to reveal more of your grace.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.